21st word. This word consists of two stations. First station. In the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate. For such prayers are enjoined on believers at stated times. Quran 4-103. One time, a man great in age, physique, and rank said to me,
"The prayers are fine, but to perform them every single day 5 times is excessive. Since they never end, it becomes wearying."
A long time after the man said these words, I listened to my soul and I heard it say exactly the same things. I looked at it and saw that with the ear of laziness, it was receiving the same lesson from Satan. Then I understood that those words were as though said in the name of all evil commanding souls, or else they had been prompted. So I said, "Since my soul commands to evil, one who does not reform his own soul cannot reform others. In which case, I shall begin with my own soul." I said, "O soul, listen to 5 warnings in response to those words which you uttered in compounded ignorance, on the couch of idleness, in the slumber of heedlessness. First warning. O my wretched soul. Is your life eternal, I wonder? Have you any incontrovertible document showing that you will live to next year, or even to tomorrow? What causes you boredom is that you fancy you shall live forever. You complain as though you will remain in this world to enjoy yourself forever. If you had understood that your life is brief and that it is departing fruitlessly, it surely would not cause you boredom, but excite a real eagerness and agreeable pleasure to spend 1 hour out of the 24 on a fine, agreeable, easy, and merciful act of service which is a means of gaining the true happiness of eternal life. Second warning. O my stomach-worshipping soul. Every day you eat bread, drink water, and breathe air, do they cause you boredom? They do not, because since the need is repeated, it is not boredom that they cause, but pleasure. In which case, the 5 daily prayers should not cause you boredom, for they attract the needs of your companions in the house of my body, the sustenance of my heart, the water of life of my spirit, and the air of my subtle faculties. Yes, it is by knocking through supplication on the door of one all-compassionate and munificent that sustenance and strength may be obtained for a heart afflicted with infinite griefs and sorrows and captivated by infinite pleasures and hopes. And it is by turning towards the spring of mercy of an eternal beloved through the 5 daily prayers that the water of life may be imbibed by a spirit connected with most beings, which swiftly depart from this transitory world crying out at separation. And being most needy for air in the sorrowful, crushing, distressing, transient, dark, and suffocating conditions of this world, it is only through the window of the prayers that a conscious inner sense and luminous subtle faculty can breathe, which by its nature desires eternal life and was created for eternity and is a mirror of the pre-eternal and post-eternal one and is infinitely delicate and subtle. Third warning. O my impatient soul. Is it at all sensible to think today of past hardships of worship, difficulties of the prayers, and troubles of misfortune, and be distressed, and to imagine the future duties of worship, service of the prayers, and sorrows of disaster, and display impatience? In being thus impatient you resemble a foolish commander, who, although the enemy's right flank joined his right flank and became fresh forces for him, sent a significant force to the right flank, and weakened the center. Then, while there were no enemy soldiers on the left flank, he sent a large force there, and gave them the order to fire. No forces then remained in the center, and the enemy understood this and attacked it and routed him. Yes, you resemble this, for the troubles of yesterday have today been transformed into mercy, the pain has gone while the pleasure remains. The difficulty has been turned into blessings, and the hardship into reward. In which case, you should not feel wearied at it, but make a serious effort to continue with a new eagerness and fresh enthusiasm. As for future days, they have not yet arrived, and to think of them now and feel bored and wearied is a lunacy like thinking today of future hunger and thirst, and starting to shout and cry out. Since the truth is this, if you are reasonable, you will think of only today in connection with worship, and say, "I am spending 1 hour of it on an agreeable, pleasant, and elevated act of service, the reward for which is high and whose trouble is little." Then your bitter dispiritedness will be transformed into sweet endeavor. My impatient soul. You are charged with being patient in 3 respects. One is patience in worship. Another is patience in refraining from sin. And a third is patience in the face of disaster. If you are intelligent, take as your guide the truth apparent in the comparison in this 3rd warning. Say in manly fashion, "O most patient one," and shoulder the 3 sorts of patience. If you do not squander on the wrong way the forces of patience Almighty God has given you, they should be enough to withstand every difficulty and disaster. So hold out with those forces. Fourth warning. O my foolish soul! Is this duty of worship without result, and is its recompense little that it causes you weariness? Whereas if someone was to give you a little money, or to intimidate you, he could make you work till evening, and you would work without slacking. So is it that the prescribed prayers are without result, which in this guest house of the world are sustenance and wealth for your impotent and weak heart, and in your grave, which will be a certain dwelling place for you, sustenance and light, and at the resurrection, when you will anyway be judged, a document and patent, and on the bridge of Sirat, over which you are bound to pass, a light and a mount. Are there recompense little? Someone promises you a present worth 100 liras, and makes you work for 100 days. You trust the man who may go back on his word and work without slacking. So if one for whom the breaking of a promise is impossible, promises you recompense like paradise and a gift like eternal happiness, and employs you for a very short time in a very agreeable duty, if you do not perform that service, or you act accusingly towards his promise or slight his gift by performing it unwillingly like someone forced to work, or by being bored, or by working in half-hearted fashion, you will deserve a severe reprimand and awesome punishment. Have you not thought of this? Although you serve without flagging in the heaviest work in this world out of fear of imprisonment, does the fear of an eternal incarceration like hell not fill you with enthusiasm for a truly light and agreeable act of service? Fifth warning. O my world-worshipping soul! Does your slackness in worship and remissness in the prescribed prayers arise from the multiplicity of your worldly occupations, or because you cannot find time due to the struggle for livelihood? Were you created only for this world that you spend all your time on it? You know that in regard to your abilities you are superior to all the animals, but in regard to procuring the necessities of worldly life you cannot compete with even a sparrow. So why can you not understand that your basic duty is not to labor like an animal, but to strive for a true, perpetual life, like a true human being? In addition, the things you call worldly occupations mostly do not concern you, and are trivial matters which you meddle in officiously. You neglect the essential things and pass your time acquiring inessential information as though you were going to live for 1,000 years. For example, you squander your precious time on worthless things like learning what the rings around Saturn are like or how many chickens there are in America, as though you were becoming an expert in astronomy or statistics. If you say, "What keeps me from the prayers and worship and causes me to be lax is not unnecessary things like that, but essential matters like earning a livelihood," then my answer is this. If you work for a daily wage of 100 kurush, and someone comes to you and says, "Come and dig here for 10 minutes, and you will find a brilliant and an emerald worth 100 liras. If you reply, "No, I won't come, because 10 kurush will be cut from my wage and my subsistence will be less," of course you understand what a foolish pretext it would be. In just the same way, you work in this orchard for your livelihood. If you abandon the obligatory prayers, all the fruits of your effort will be restricted to only a worldly, unimportant, and unproductive livelihood. But if you spend your rest periods on the prayers, which allow your spirit to relax and heart to take a breather, you will discover two minds which are an important source, both for a productive worldly livelihood, and your livelihood and provisions of the hereafter. First mind. Through a sound intention, you will receive a share of the praises and glorifications offered by all the plants and trees, whether flowering or fruit-bearing, that you grow in the garden. Hashia. In English footnote. This first station was a lesson for someone in a garden, so it was explained in this way. Second mind. Whatever is eaten of the garden's produce, whether by animals or man, cattle or flies, buyers or thieves, it will become like almsgiving from you. But on condition you work in the name of the true provider and within the bounds of what he permits, and see yourself as a distribution official giving his property to his creatures. So see what a great loss is made by one who abandons the prescribed prayers. What significant wealth he loses, and he is deprived of those two results and minds which would otherwise cause him to work eagerly and ensure his morale is strong, he becomes bankrupt. Even, as he grows old, he will grow weary of gardening and lose interest in it, saying, "What is it to me? I am anyway leaving this world, why should I put up with this much difficulty?" He will sink into idleness. But the first man says, I shall work harder at both worship and licit activities in order to send even more abundant light to my grave and procure more provisions for my life in the hereafter. Quote. In short, O my soul, know that yesterday has left you, and as for tomorrow, you have nothing to prove that it will be yours. In which case, know that your true life is the present day. So throw at least one of its hours into a mosque or prayer mat, a coffer for the hereafter like a reserve fund, set up for the true future. Know too that for you and for everyone each new day is the door to a new world. If you do not perform the prayers, your world that day will depart dark and wretched, and will testify against you in the world of similitudes. For everyone, every day, has a private world out of this world, and its nature is dependent on the person's heart and actions. Like a splendid palace reflected in a mirror takes on the color of the mirror, if it is black, it appears black, if it is red, it appears red. Also it takes on the qualities of the mirror, if the mirror is smooth, it shows the palace to be beautiful, and if it is not, it shows it to be ugly. As it shows the most delicate things to be coarse, so you alter the shape of your own world with your heart, mind, actions, and wishes. You may make it testify either for you or against you. If you perform the 5 daily prayers, and through them you are turned towards that world's glorious maker, all of a sudden your world, which looks to you, is lit up. Quite simply as though the prayers are an electric lamp and your intention to perform them touches the switch, they disperse the world's darkness and show the changes and movements within the confused wretchedness of worldly chaos to be a wise and purposeful order and a meaningful writing of divine power. They scatter one light of the light-filled verse. God is the light of the heavens and the earth. Quran 24:35. Over your heart, and your world on that day is illuminated through the light's reflection. It will cause it to testify in your favor through its luminosity. Beware, do not say, what are my prayers in comparison with the reality of the prayers? Because like the seed of a date palm describes the full-grown tree, your prayers describe your tree. The difference is only in the summary and details, like the prayers of a great saint, the prayers of ordinary people like you or me, even if they are not aware of it, have a share of that light. There is a mystery in this truth, even if the conscious mind does not perceive it. But the unfolding and illumination differs according to the degrees of those performing them. However many stages and degrees there are from the seed of a date palm to the mature tree, the degrees of the prayers and their stages are even more numerous. But the essence of that luminous truth is present in all the degrees. O God! Grant blessings and peace to the one who said, the 5 daily prayers are the pillar of religion, and to all his family and companions. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah.